Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day and this privilege, Lord, to be assembled together in your name. Knowing this is Father's Day and you are our Father, we just come before you, Lord, with thanksgiving in our hearts. And we just want to say thank you, Lord, and happy Father's Day. And so, Father, we just ask that you be with us now as we open thy word and continue in the study of the unveiling of God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, happy Father's Day to all you fathers. And this will be number 159 in our series entitled, He Who Made the Promise is Here to Confirm It. But we're going to talk a little bit about how he confirms it, because that's very important to us. Now, this morning we're going to pick up where we left off at paragraph 155 of Brother Ram's sermon, The Unveiling of God, where he says, the old badger skin denominations is tore down. I broke through that into the Shekinah glory, and I see the Word. I see the pillar of fire move. I see the Word made manifest. And what he said he would do in these last days, I see it growing. Now, four times he says, I see the Word, I see the pillar of fire moving, I see the Word made manifest, and I see it growing. Now, to the Baptists, they could read, you know, any fundamentals, they could see, well, I see the Word. But Jesus said it was written in such a way as to keep them blind. He says they have eyes to see, but they cannot see, ears to hear, but they cannot perceive what is being said. He said that in Matthew 13, not only that, but in Luke 8 and Mark 4. In Matthew 13 and 9, he said, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, if Jesus meant for all to hear and understand, he would not have said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Because hearing does not mean to hear the sound thereof, but it actually means to understand. Let's just read on. And the disciples came and they said unto him, well, why then do you speak, you know, to these others, to all them out there in parables? In Luke, you read it, in Luke it says, to them that are on the outside. Now notice that the disciples knew Jesus was talking less plain to the crowd than he did in private. He was speaking in parables. Notice the words of his disciples, why are you speaking unto them in parables? So it is the disciples that notice a difference in the way Jesus is addressing the public that is very different from the way he speaks to them when they're in private. In fact, they use the word parables to describe the way that Jesus was talking to them. Now, we use the word them when we're addressing other persons and not in our own group or setting. The word them refers to others and not our own. Secondly, the disciples notice that the way he spoke to others was not the same way that he spoke to them. They use the word parables. Now, the definition of a parable is a short allegorical story designed to illustrate or teach some truth. It's religious principles or some moral lesson. A statement or comment that conveys a meaning indirectly by the use of comparison, analogy, or the like. So they're saying, you know, Jesus, when you talk very plain to us. You remember one of them said, now thou speakest plainly. You know. But why do you use a different way of preaching? Why do you do a different way of talking? You talk to us very plain, but when you talk to them, it's kind of in stories. It's kind of in a way that people can look at. And so you can see that using a parable or an illustration is done with a moral lesson in mind. As the second definition states, it is a statement or comment that conveys a meaning by the use of comparison, an analogy, or the like. Therefore, a parable can be used very generically to mean a general truth, but it is not used to speak specifically or to address a question with an answer that is very specific. You don't use parables to hit the nitty-gritty, to put the nail on the head. Now, in Mark chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, we read, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Now notice that he said two important things here. Number one, there are certain people who are created with an innate something within them that allows them to hear and to understand. He says to see and perceive what they see. He said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to them, it's not given. It's not given to them to know. So we see, first of all, that the word of God is not for everyone. But he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. God wants you to know. But unto you it is given. And the word given means it's a gift. It's from the Father. From a sermon at Shalom, Brother Bram said, the elected seed knows. It's always throughout every age that they know it. From Conduct, Order, and Doctrine, he said, and I believe the predestinated seed will see it, and only them will see it. And from the Message, Spoken Word, Original Seed, he said, if they don't believe the word, they have no seed, germ, in them. And again, from paragraph 45, the same message, he said, everyone that belongs to God will hear God. Just feel led of the Spirit, where to go and what to do, and do that. So you see, there is no getting around it. God has made some people to receive his word, and all others are not made to receive it. Now, most stories and parables and illustrations can be taken to mean whatever a person is hearing, it wants it to mean. Because then he says, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Now, notice the difference here. He said, to you it is given to know, but to them it is not given to know. So you see, the parable has a clever twofold purpose. To those who actually do know, it is a story of or illustration that actually clenches the nail of their understanding. But to those who do not know and do not understand, the parable story or illustration actually blurs or hides from them what they think that they know, but actually they don't know. Letting them think that they understand when they actually do not. And then Jesus actually explains what takes place in verse 12. He says, for whosoever hath, and the Greek word there is echo, and it is the same word in the French and in the English, and it means to be able to give back in the same way as it was given, with the same emphasis as it was given. And he says, of those who are made to echo or reflect the word, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. Now, getting back to verse 12, we read, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And if you look up that word hath, you'll find the Greek word echo, and basically it means to have or to accompany. And that's exactly what we hear when we hear an echo. It is the same thing that you say being accompanied by a repeat of itself. And so we read this verse this way, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, or shall we say, to him that is made in such a way as to be able to echo back the word of God, to him shall be given. And notice as the scripture continues, and he shall have more abundance. Now, why would the person who is made to echo have what is given to him in more abundance? Because just an echo is made off the original sound or out from the original, so too it is a repeat of the original. So it will be more of the same, therefore more abundance. Now I'm going to, I think you all understand this principle. But what I want to do is I want to show you how it actually increases. Remember, Brother Branham made this statement. When word is piled upon word upon word upon word, she has an echo upon echo upon echo, it'll take a hold of every fiber of your body. Now, you all recall him saying that. Okay. Now, Jesus is talking about words in Matthew 13, and the parable is just words put together in such a way as to tell a story while trying to emphasize a moral. But to him who is able to take these words and echo them back so as to bring the same understanding as was given to him shall have more abundance. Now, have you ever thought why? Why does he that hath or he that echoes have more abundance? Well, the very nature of an echo is to reproduce the original in every way. In other words, not just once, but over and over and over again. Now, our inheritance is the word. So when you echo, you're getting a double fold, a triple fold, a quadruple fold, and it keeps on going as it echoes, right? Now, I want you to hold this thought in your mind because as we read a few more verses, you're going to see why that you will have more abundance. Now, let's read on. But whosoever hath not or echoes not From him shall be taken even that which he thinks he has, or thinks he is echoing. In other words, it's like this. Stories and parables are spoken to convey a message. And a joke, many times, is just a story or parable with a funny twist to get a point across. So we tell jokes, which are nothing but stories, to put a little humor into a story, but to convey a message to the one listening. So let's just look at what Jesus is saying, or just said, about the ability to echo or not having the ability to echo. And to help you remember the difference, let me illustrate it with a little story. Now, there was a man who was sent to prison for something that he had done wrong. And as he sat his first night behind the bars, he heard someone yell out, "Number 4!" And when he heard it, he noticed that everyone in the jailhouse, they just roared with laughter. A few minutes went by, and a different inmate yelled out, "Number 15! And again, everyone in the jailhouse burst into laughter. Well, this went on for the next hour or so, and the numbers 14 and 15 and 10 and 24 and 13 and 18 and 21, etc., were all used, and each time a number was yelled out, the entire jailhouse just roared with laughter. So this new inmate, who had sat for this first hour in prison listening to this banter and laughter, turned to his cellmate and asked, "Why does everyone laugh when they hear a number called?" And the cellmate replied, "Well, because many of us have been here for so long that we know all the jokes, because we've heard them so many times. So we just decided to give each joke a number to save us the time of having to tell the whole thing." Thought the cellmate, "I'd like to try that too." So he yells out, "Number 4! Nothing happened. No one laughed. He then tried 15! No one laughed. Just dead silence. He then went through 10 and 24 and 13 and 18, 21. All the same. No one laughed. Just dead silence. So he turned to his cellmate and he said, "I repeated every joke that was said tonight, and not one person laughed. So why is that?" And the cellmate said, "Well, some people just can't tell a good joke." Now, see, some people can quote the prophet. They can quote it, but they can't echo it. You understand what I'm saying? They can quote, but you see there's something in their life that, you know, just turns you off to begin with, because you see, they're not living it. Now, I'm not here to entertain with jokes, but I wanted to use that as an illustration of a true echo versus just a repeat of something. Some are given to know, and they can echo what they have heard, but others are not given to know, and therefore they cannot echo what they have heard. And when you echo, you repeat, and when you repeat, it comes back not once, not twice, but on and on and on. That's what an echo is. And as Brother Branham preached the sermon, hearing, then recognizing, and then acting upon the word, you hear it first, and if you're made to echo, then when you hear it, you will recognize it, and that recognition is an echo. Because it's an echo coming from your ears into your spirit, and your spirit recognizes it and echoes it. And then it moves into your soul and it echoes it. And it moves back up in your spirit and echoes it into your body, and it echoes it, hearing, recognizing, and then acting upon. You see? So the end product is that it produces in your flesh exactly the same thing you heard. The spoken word is the original seed. You see, when you hear anything with your ears, it must go from ear to the spirit and work its way through the 5 filters that you have in your spirit. As Brother Bram said in a sermon, "No, Is It Not?" He begins by talking about the natural birth, and then he goes on to talk about what happens when you're born again. He said, "Now inside of that is a spirit, which you become when you're born in here, and the breath of life is breathed into you. That spirit is of a worldly nature, because it's not given from God, but it was given or permitted by God." Now you got that? Now every child that's born in the world is born in sin, shaped in iniquity, coming to the world speaking lies. Is that right? So that person inside of there is a sinner to begin with. But now it's got 5 inlets, and then 5 inlets, and I don't know whether I can call them off right now or not. First of all, I know it's thought and conscience and love and conscience and reason. There's 5 inlets. Now, in other sermons, Brother Bram kind of puts them all together. He says, number 1 is conscience, number 2 is affection, number 3 is reasoning, number 4 is memory, number 5 is imagination. Then he adds, you can't think with your body. You have to think with your spirit. You see, you can't be racist with your flesh. Your flesh is an organ. You're racist in your spirit. You understand? It has nothing to do with flesh. It's in the spirit. You can't think with your body. This body doesn't think. Your flesh, whether it's black or brown or white or yellow or whatever, it doesn't think. It's the spirit that thinks. So you can't think with your body. You have to think with your spirit. You can't have conscience in your body. It has no mental faculties at all. Your body doesn't. So you have to think with your spirit. You have to reason. You can't reason with your physical being because reason doesn't see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. Reason is what you can make in your mind. If you're asleep or you're out, your body's lying there dead, but your spirit can still reason. There's five senses that control that inside man. And now to the last man, which is the soul, there's only one sense that controls that, and that's free moral agency, free will to choose or to reject. Just let me say this. Until God comes into your soul to work in you to will and to do, what good is your choice? If it's not God willing and then doing, there is a way which seems right to a man, but the way thereof is the way of death. He's going to choose whatever he thinks is right. And if it's not God in there doing it, it ain't going to get done. All right? So when you hear the word, it comes through your ears and it works its way through the filters. Conscience, affection, reasoning, memory, imagination. And as it passes through each filter, it echoes that word through your conscience first. Now remember, how do you hear? And is there anybody here that understands enough about medicine to tell you how you hear? What do they call that little thing inside there? The ear drum, right? What does a drum do?
Vibrates.
Vibrates. What is a vibration? It's an echo. When you have your heart examined to see if you're alive or not, what do? You take an echocardiogram. It's echoing. It's checking out the echo of your heart. Is your heart repeating? Boom, boom, boom. Or is it not? You see? All right. Which is signs of life. So it works its way from the ear, which is the outer senses, through the conscience, through the affection, through the reasoning, through the memory, through the imagination, and as it passes through each filter, that word through your conscience first, then your conscience echoes it through your affection, and it passes through your affection, it gets echoed through the filter of your reasoning, and as your reasoning says, if God said it has to be true, then it gets echoed through your memory. And as it passes through your memory adds more of the same word and echoes it through your imagination. And as it passes through your imagination, you begin to see how that your body can become subject to that word that you're echoing. And as it passes through your imagination, it is echoed to your body where your members begin to manifest that word which has already echoed through your body, building, building, building. And as it has gone through your spirit, then your soul, and back to your spirit, and now into your body, echo, echo, echo back, and echoing back, and echoing back. See? Then your body manifests that word, which is your body echoing what you heard, echoing by recognizing, and echoing by now acting upon. But if what you hear enters into your spirit and there is no echo, it dies right there. And there that word seed dies right there. And if you are not ordained to echo, but as I've already said, if you are ordained to echo, it echoes into your soul. Then through your spirit, and then up into the body, where the body echoes or lives out what you hear. That's why it's so important when you see in the scripture, he that echoes. You see, he that echoes the Son echoes what? Life. Right? So the hearing begins with the ears, but if the spirit has not been born again, it will not even register down to the soul, but the spirit is incapable of echoing. But those who are born again have a spirit in you, working to will first and then to do. So then when you hear it, it is echoed from the ears into the spirit, where it is echoed into the soul, then the soul recognizes it, because the gene seed of God will only recognize the word of God. My sheep hear my voice, and no other voice will they recognize. And when the soul recognizes the word, it echoes it back to the spirit, where it is energized by the spirit working in you to will and to do. which is seen in Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself will bear witness with your spirit or with our spirit that we are the children of God. And the Spirit recognizes the word and echoes it up to the flesh, the body, where the body manifests what it heard. You see, the willing, there's got to be something to will too. It says God is working in you to will and to do His good pleasure. So when it recognizes His good pleasure, the willing is an echo. Amen! And then the doing is the echo. Amen! His good pleasure. You see? And the Spirit recognizes that word and echoes it up to the flesh, the body, where the body manifests what is heard. That is how God is working in you to will and then to do. Notice the will first then is an echo, and then to do is another echo. And the will and the doing is of His good pleasure. Now, let's go back to hear what Jesus says concerning this. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Now that's their free moral agency at work right there. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the way thereof is the way of death. Right? You're always going to choose what you think is right. Now, let's continue reading what Jesus says in the parable. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. So He uses parables because He knows they are not ordained to hear, recognize, and therefore act upon the Word of God. For they are not ordained to echo His Word of life, for they have not His life in them. But then Jesus says in verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And if you hear and see it, it is because you recognize the Word of God and you will act upon it. Now let's continue. Verse 17. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men, that's rightly wise men, have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and hear those things which you have heard and have not heard them. Hear ye then the parable of the sower. Then Jesus gives another parable or illustration, which gives us even more details to understanding what He is doing by using them. Verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in the heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. In other words, by the lack of understanding, by the understanding get not, it doesn't echo. There's not an amen because you don't understand what it is. You're not saying, you can't say the same thing because you don't understand what was said. You understand? Because 1 Corinthians 2, it says, no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him. So if that Spirit of God in you, that's what makes you to echo. It's because it's God working in you. It's God, that energy of God, building in you that echo. Alright? But he that receiveth the seed into stony places is the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy he receives it. Yet hath he not rooted in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. Now, notice this man actually was affected by the word in his spirit, because with joy he received it. So it's touched his affections, it touched his emotions. But it apparently did not make it through the five filters in the spirit, because it never got down to the soul. Therefore, it really wasn't an echo. It was the person probably, and my guess is that, you know, there's a lot of preachers out there that can really get dynamic. They really have a certain charisma. They have a certain ability to speak. And in their way of speaking, they touch those people. The preacher cries and the people cry. The preacher laughs and the people laugh. So is it the word that's affecting them, or is it just the personal attributes of the preacher? You understand? That's why you can go to play, if people get rallied, and they get, you know, the preacher comes out and he's running up and down the aisle and he's speaking to the people and everything else, and the people are just, well, you know, sobbing or they're rejoicing or amening or whatever. It's like 15, 20 years ago, a young preacher, he was preaching over at a church in the area, and after the service said, you know, I can't understand, I can't hear a word that I'm preaching. Every time I say something, the people are so excited and yelling and everything else, I just can't even hear myself preach. And I said, well, why don't you try teaching instead of preaching? He said, well, what do you mean? I said, cut out the emotion. I said, you get whipped up, you're whipping up the people's emotion,
but they're not even hearing the word.
And you're actually blinding their eyes, like in the days of Lot, you know, the preaching of the gospel blinds. Because they got their eyes focused on what?
The vessel.
And I said, the people are focused on the vessel. When the vessel's excited, they're excited because you're excited. You know, you get somebody who might even tell a bad joke, but he got such a funny way of laughing about it that you end up laughing yourself. And you get caught up in that little spirit of laughter. You've all probably been there, had done that. And it doesn't even mean the joke was funny. It might just be, might have been so stupid that you laughed. All right? So
then that afternoon of the evening service, he just presented the gospel, just laid it out very quietly. The place, you could hear a pin drop. It was very quiet.
But the people were actually now beginning to hear what he had to say. In the morning they didn't, because he was just yelling and screaming. He was on the, standing on the edge of the railing, just working the people up. And when the people are all worked up, they don't hear a word you're saying. But, like he says, they hear the word and anon with joy they receive it, but having no root within himself, it'll endure for a while. He go, oh, that was a great sermon. That was a great service. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And then somebody asks you, well, what do you say?
I don't know, but it sure was good. Why? Because it got down to your emotions. It touched your affections, your emotions. But it didn't do anything for your soul because it didn't echo down there.
So notice this man actually was affected by the word in his spirit, because with joy he received it. It touched his affections, it touched his emotions, but apparently didn't make it through the five filters into the, down through the spirit into the soul. And so he says, he also that received a seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. Now listen. But the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches chokes out the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Again, this person is not even affected in his spirit because he is so preoccupied with the things of the world. That is where his affections reside. He has no conscience of the word. He is too preoccupied with what he sees, tastes, feels, smells, and hears, that he enjoys of the world. But he has no affection for the word that he has. He has no memory of hearing that word and no imagination as to what it can do for him and through him. He simply is tied to the world and the things of the world. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many have ever been through some trials and you can come to church and the word can be preached and some could be really blessed, but you're sitting there, you're thinking about a bill that you owe or some overtime you've got to do or something on the job or somebody's personality is rubbing you on the job, and so you're preoccupied with those things, you don't even hear the word. Well, that's what he's talking about right there. He has no affection for the word he's heard. He has no memory of hearing that word. No imagination that can... He's just tied to the world. Now, there is one more group Jesus mentions here. So, let's just see how this group comes out. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. There's your spirit realm. And notice it is echoed into the soul, where it is not only understood, but it is recognized and echoed back up to the flesh, where it is acted upon. And Jesus says of this one, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Notice, it bears fruit, which is the process of echoing until it manifests the same seed life as in the original seed. Some echo 30, some echo 60, some echo 100. And let's just say that's percents. When we look at Brother Brown, he had to be close to 100%. Jesus was 100%. So William Brown might have been 99 point whatever. All right. People in the pew, maybe 30, maybe 60. Hopefully. But there is fruit. Now, let's get back to what Brother Brown was telling us in paragraph 155. He said, I see the children eating that Shekinah bread coming from the ripening of that word which believes it. Amen. What a wonderful hour that we're living in. See, the Shekinah was over the word, and under there was the bread, and there was the blood sprinkled which gives it water. The Spirit gives life to the word. And how many read the tape, the trial? Yes, many of you have, or heard the tape, the trial. You see there, it takes, that word must grow. It must echo. In order to grow or echo, it's got to be the right kind of ground. See? And God makes a promise, and it hits that heart, and it cannot fail. Now, God makes a promise, and the ears hear it, and the Spirit amens it, and echoes it, and the soul recognizes it, and echoes it back up to the Spirit, and the Spirit, which is bearing witness with our spirit, attaches it, and works in us the willing of it and the doing of it, and it moves it or echoes up to our body, which then is a doing of it. Now, let's read paragraph 156. Noah waited 120 years. Abraham waited 25 years on that child. God said so, and that settled it. See? The word was there, being watered by faith, believing it. It brought forth results. It brought forth a son. Notice that's one result. It brought forth rain. That's another result. The son is what? The fruit of the womb, right? The rain. What does it do? It brings fruits. It brought forth the flood. It brought forth the virgin that was conceived. A prophet said, a virgin shall conceive. No doubt, but what, every little girl went and got her baby clothes ready. Well, this prophet Isaiah was identified prophet, vindicated of God. And the Lord said, a virgin shall conceive. I'm going to give them a supernatural sign, a great sign. A virgin shall conceive. Now watch how he brings forth this echoing of the promise by the believers. And all them people, them believers, just like you all, when they heard that prophet say that, every little girl, every man said, that's going to be my daughter. Yes, sir. That's the record. Everybody went and bought the booties and the bird's eye and everything else, getting ready, because they know that she was going to have it. That generation passed. They thought, that identified prophet, that vindicated of God, how could he tell anything that was wrong? It must be so. It was 800 years later, but she brought forth a baby. Heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass. See, the woman, Mary, the virgin, she heard the promise, and what did she do? What did she say? Be it done unto me according to thy word. What was that? An echo. Amen. 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 I heard what you say. I recognize what you say. Let it be done unto me. Let the body then echo. And that's what, that, and what's that? She was amening what she heard. And it echoed in her spirit, and then it echoed in her soul, and then it echoed right into her body, and the echo produced the fruit of the womb, the fruit of the word in her womb, which was the Son of God. Now, John 5:19, we hear Jesus say, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, that what things soever he doeth, these things also doeth the Son likewise. And then in John 5:25 we read, verily, verily, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, or echoes, everlasting life, and shall not come into the condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath, or echoes life in himself, so hath he also given to the Son to echo life in himself. It's all about the echo. Alright? Now, being this is Father's Day, I hope that you see the principle of life. In genetics, in order for life to multiply, it must divide into two. And a complete, exact replica of the original seed is produced through this division and multiplication. What is the first echo? It's the division. It's, you got the original, and you got what? A duplicate. Right? Well, when the body, when the cell separates, now you have two. That's called multiplication. And then what happens? Those two multiply. Those two multiply. And when word is piled upon word, how do you pile it? Echoing. When the word is echoed upon echo, it produces in every cell of the body, and finally the body itself comes in harmony with that word. Now I want you to see how this echoing produces exact copies of the original. And since Jesus said, my words are spirit, and they are therefore life, therefore when we echo his word, we echo his life. You can't help it. That is why John 14:12 is so important. Jesus said, if I do not the works of my Father, you don't have to believe me. And Brother Brown told us the same holds true for every true fivefold minister of God in every church. From Hebrews chapter 5, he says, Paul speaking to this Hebrews group, yet scholars he's speaking to now, scholars, well-learned, we find that in a few moments, very scholarly, but the deep spiritual mystery, the church is still blinded to it. He said, when you ought to be teaching others, you're still a babe. I know there's many rise up and go out and say, oh, I don't need to go to church anymore. Praise God. Holy Ghost has come. He's a teacher. When you get that idea, you're just wrong. For why did the Holy Ghost set teachers in the church if he was going to be the teacher? See, there are first apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. The Holy Spirit set teachers in the church so he could teach through the teacher. God working in that teacher to will and then to do. To will and then to teach. Okay, and if it isn't according to the word, God doesn't confirm it, then it isn't the right kind of teaching. So how do you know that the teacher is teaching truth? Because you see the supernatural presence of God in his ministry. And if the supernatural presence of God is not there, it's only intellectual. It must compare with the entire Bible and be just as alive today as it was then. There's a real thing made manifest. Now notice, if God doesn't confirm what the person teaches you, you don't have to believe it. Because it's not God's teaching. And how does God confirm his word? By showing signs of a supernatural presence with that ministry. From the beginning it wasn't so, Brother Branham said. Jesus said at the beginning, the works that I do shall you do also. That's the way it was in the beginning. What kind of works did he do at the beginning? The same works that he's doing now. What kind of church did he have at the beginning? A church that was filled with the Spirit, that healed the sick and prophesied, and great signs and wonders, and it wasn't ashamed of the religion. They shouted and danced under the Spirit like drunk men and had cloven tongues with fire set upon them, and they'd done signs and wonders and exploits followed them. That's the kind it was at the beginning. That's the kind it'll be in the middle. That'll be the kind it'll be at the last. You say, my church don't teach that. Well, it wasn't so from the beginning. You say, I'm a Methodist. It wasn't so from the beginning. I'm a Baptist. It wasn't so from the beginning. I'm a Lutheran. It wasn't so from the beginning. They were baptized saints of God with the Holy Ghost. That's what the beginning was. Signs and wonders. You say, my church don't believe in it. It wasn't so from the beginning. My church don't believe in seeing visions. It wasn't so from the beginning. From a sermon. Sirs, we would see Jesus. Brother Brown said, now according to the scripture, we are supposed to be written epistles of him. What is something that's written down? What is it? It's an echo of what was in the mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, or in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You see? So the speaking is an echo. The writing down is an echo. You're just saying what he said. All right? And if tonight we would be hunger and thirst to see the Lord Jesus Christ, we as Christian believers should reflect or echo his life so much till it would be his entire representative. We should be that. Every Christian should be represent and reflect or echo the life of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Congregation says amen. And I believe that every Christian should be reflecting, which we'll say echoing, the life of Christ. He said in St. John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And then we know that that's true, that we are his representatives. And if we claim that Christ lives in us, and if Christ lives in us, then we should do as Christ did. We should reflect his life. That's an echo. See, you can't get away from it. John 14:12 is evidence that your body, that not only did you hear it, but you recognize it, and now you're acting upon it. You see? Echoing all the way through. And so we see that God is life, and that life was reflected or echoed forth into his son and then into sons. From Be Certain of God, Brother Brown says, if I have the Spirit of Christ, I'll do the works of Christ. Jesus said, if I do not the works of Christ, then believe me not. And if the church does not do the works of Christ, then don't believe that church. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And we perverted it by works of man and doctrines of man. The Bible said in the last days they'd be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, despisers of those that are good. You say, them's communists. No, them's Christians, so-called. And church members, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, saying, oh, God did that in another age, but it's not for this age. The Bible said, from such, turn away. We're living in that day. The Son of God reflected, he echoed the Father in every detail. And thus, he that can echo the Son will echo life, for God is life. And he that will remain in the doctrine of Christ will echo both the Father and the Son. From adoption or placing, Brother Ransom, the church has got to be so perfectly like Christ until Christ and the church can unite together, the same Spirit. And if the Spirit of Christ in you is in you, it makes you live the life of Christ. What is that? It makes you echo what you hear. It makes you act the life of Christ, do the works of Christ. He that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Jesus said that. For if Jesus echoed the Father, we echo Jesus, and we will also echo the Father. For an echo is not a one-time event that happens over and over and over again. And just let me say this, because it's just coming fresh from the throne. Brother Bram, he says, when God spoke the word, he birthed his Son. Right? What was that? An echo of what was in his mind. The Logos that came out of God was the birthing of the Son. Right? How do sons come? Same word. Just it's a further echo. And when you echo the first time, when you hear it the first time, it's loud. Second one's a little bit less. Third's a little bit less. You see, but Jesus is the eldest Son. The greatest Son. The greatest echo. But you have that same God life echoing through you. Alright. Thus, Jesus, the first fruit, was the first repeat of the Father to us. And as we catch the vision and are conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, Romans 8, we then also will do nothing unless the Father shows us first. And what we teach are the commandments from the Father, given to us through the first echo of His Son. And thus, as we echo them to others, they are repeated again and again and again, showing the Word is living and abiding in us. In other words, the echo of God is continuing on and on and on and on. Now, I'm going to read from 1 John 5 and 10. But when I do, I'm going to read the actual Greek word echo in the place of the translated word hath. All right? He that believeth on the Son of God echoes the witness in, where? Himself. He that believeth not the Son hath made him a liar, because he hath not... because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that echoes the Son echoes life, and he that echoes not the Son echoes not life. Now back to Brother Bram's sermon, The Unveiling of God. Last paragraph we're going to read, 158. Today, anyway. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. See, here we are. The light over the word, as the light of the sun changes the seed from glory to glory. What's that? An echo to echo. All right. From opinion to opinion. From values to values. From judgment to judgment. We also become more like him as we live in his presence. Like him. There's your echo. As he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. Being conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. Being conformed, same thing. Same echo. Right? Being conformed to his image, blessed image. As we walk with him, and watch what the Son does. You plant the seed, what happens? The seed rots. Inside the seed is the life. The life comes forth and brings forth a stalk. Now, that don't look like the first. That there's Luther. It was a stalk, all right. The stalk went on. The first thing you know, it brought forth a tassel. See, that was a Wesleyan revival. Wasn't like the other. Then along come the Pentecostal revival. See, brought forth the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right, what happened? We get fungus on the ear. It looks... it begins to look wrong. This thing, that thing, it don't look like the Word. It's not like the Word, the rest of it. It's not like the original grain went in, but God is still there to make that just the same. Now notice, when God is working in you to will and to do, you don't see it. You see the doing of it, but you don't see the willing of it. But you know the willing of it. It's a spiritual thing. When God is working in you to will, and the will is invisible, so it doesn't look like the doing of it. But nevertheless, the will is an echo of the original seed word and echoes up from the spirit to the soul, back to the spirit, identifying with his spirit, and then the body catches it and echoes it into manifestation. It all begins with... But you see, like Brother Brown said, that Luther didn't look like the original seed, but the life was still passing through. The willing, you don't know.
It's invisible. It doesn't look like the original seed, which was an action. But it'll produce the action. Just give it time. You see?
It all begins with a thought in the mind of God. Then when God echoed that thought became word. And as God spoke it, that speaking was an echo of the thought and brought forth a manifestation which is only the echo off of the spoken word. Or of the spoken word. In other words, it is the same thought from the beginning, but as it moves forward, it echoes from one realm to another realm, from thought to spoken word, and then to manifested word. Paragraph 159, I guess this is the last one. Okay. Notice, what does he do? It finally returns back to the original seed again. When it come in the form of Martin Luther, when it come in the form of John Wesley, when it come in the form of Pentecost, he's supposed to reveal himself again like the same seed went in, the Son of Man. He reveals himself as the Son of Man through the stock age and so forth. But in the last age, he's to reveal himself as Son of Man again. You get it? Thus, in each seed that comes forth from the original seed, there must be an ability to echo or repeat what that seed is. And if the original spoken word is a seed, then that spoken word seed must bring forth after its kind. Thus, an ability to echo will guarantee the continuity that each time that word is repeated, it will not only say the same thing, but the same thought as the original will be behind it, because the expression or dynamics of that word will be the same from generation to generation as it repeats itself over and over again, as word is piled upon word, not a different word, as word is piled upon word, as the promise of God for your age is piled upon the promise of God for your age, you're echoing it, and what happens? It takes a hold of every fiber of the body. You see? So, because the expression or dynamics of that word will be the same from generation to generation as it repeats itself over and over again, and the repetition being reflected from echo to echo will carry along with it the same expression and dynamics and will sound exactly as the original seed sounded. Amen? All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this word. We pray, Father, we take heart to it and that we would meditate this week upon what you've given us this morning. That might, Lord, if there be any anything in us, as your scripture says, if there be any otherwise minded, you'd reveal it to us. Oh God, we want nothing, Lord, to hamper that reflection of the echo. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you think about the violin, if you have a broken string, the tune's not going to be there. And it's not tight. If your string's not tight, it's not going to vibrate, right? What is a vibration? It's an echo. Well, God bless you. Let's just sing the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon thee.
The Lord bless thee.